Hey, special educators, I'm Jennifer from Positively Learning. Welcome to the Special Educators Resource Room. If you're like me, you're always looking for ways to save time and streamline your work. That's why this podcast was created, to give you the systems and solutions you need to get your time back. Tune in for tips, tricks, and tools that will help you manage your workload and make the most of your time. Whether you're brand new or experienced, all are welcome in the Special Educators Resource Room. 4 times a year, special educators get to do this magical task called progress report cards. And I am here to share my tips to make it a little more bearable and even an enjoyable process. Yes, I said enjoyable. I don't know about you, but when I'm focused on the day-to-day, it's really hard to see all the progress that's happening. It feels like one step forward, 2 steps back. Sitting down every quarter to put this progress on paper and compare it to where we were the previous quarter really helps us see the big picture and share it out with families. I don't know about you, but after I'm done with progress reports, I feel so much better. So now I'm ready to share exactly what I do. I have 2 different approaches. The first one I'm going to share is just the bare minimum. Let's get this done and off our to-do list. The second is if you have a little bit more time, maybe it's the first time you've ever done this, or you're troubleshooting because you're feeling a little bit stuck. Regardless of which approach you use, I highly recommend batching. So batching for me looked like finding a large chunk of time. Maybe it's 1 hour, 90 minutes, or 2 hours, depending on the size of your caseload and how many progress reports you have to write. I understand that that might be very difficult to find, so just take it with a grain of salt. You can always divide this up. The 2 reasons that I chose batching was, number one, logistics. I never struggled as much with writing the comments, especially when I got the system I'm going to share down pat. I really struggled with the system that we had to enter the comments in. It was an archaic system, didn't like to cooperate. I found if I could just do it in one big swoop, it was less fighting the system. So I ended up doing a lot of copy and pasting and I kind of found the groove. The other reason I like to use batching is my focus. I find if I do 15-minute tasks over and over again, I have to refocus each time. I understand that you may only have 15 minutes and you might be a little faster than me, but I found that I always took a couple of minutes to get myself back into the groove and I don't like to waste that time. So I prefer to do this in an assembly line style in one big batch if possible. As I sit down to start the assembly line, I have a few resources open and ready. Number one, I have a Google Doc open for each student. Then I also have whatever data I'm going to be referring to, whether I have a data binder, work samples, a stack of papers next to me, whatever I'm going to reference to grab the data points. And then the last thing is I have a system opened that we used as the state or district or whatever it was. I have that opened as well. That's the last step. The Google Doc, or maybe you're using Word, whatever you want to use, is a living document. So I use the same one every quarter. And as I open it up, I might see the progress report statements I wrote for the previous quarter or the previous year. Or it might be completely blank because it's the first time you're writing progress reports for this student. If it's completely blank, I do recommend copy and pasting some exemplars so you have some language to borrow. At our school, we always started off with the exact same language. So any family caregiver from our school can start off opening up the progress report and see some familiar statements. The one that we used was based on accommodations, modifications, and individualized instruction in the general education curriculum. Blank is making progress or not making progress on this objective. That's the blanket statement. So I'm going to go ahead and copy and paste this into the document. You can use the exact words I shared or make them your own. After this blanket statement, then I want to put in the numbers. So it might look like overall IEP progress, blank percent towards goal. Or you might want to write something like student continues to make progress on blank IEP goals and objectives in the following areas. You could have each objective listed or abbreviated and then have the percent right next to it. But I'm going to use numbers. Now, one important statement about using these copy and paste. It is not just a time-saving measure for you. I also believe that when we copy and paste and use very similar language from quarter to quarter, it provides that sense of continuity. So families and caregivers looking for progress and a summary statement, they don't have to go searching for it. They should see very similar language followed by numbers so that they can quickly access this information. So definitely take off any pressure that this has to be this well-written thesis statement style document. No, copy and paste is our friend here, not just to save time, but also to communicate more efficiently. The document will have these statements ready for you. So every time you sit down to write a new report, you can copy and paste. If it feels a little bit funny using the exact same words, you can always make a variation. If you have the large special educators bundle from my TPT shop, I have a page of variations on the same statement. You're welcome to add all of those to your document and then pick and choose. Regardless of which statement you use, you do want to include the following things. You do want to mention what goals and/or objectives that you are referring to for the progress. So you can just list them out. Then you'll add some summary of the student's progress. I like to use numbers. The next is a progress code. You want to mention if the student is on track, if the student requires more attention, or if the student has achieved the goal or is not making progress. You want to have this in its own statement. It could even be a checkbox, making progress, not making progress. And then it is up to you if you want to add more recommendations. You could have some insights about how supplementary aids is working, appropriate supports. Maybe there's an attendance issue. This is where you could put a statement like that. In summary, this bare minimum approach is a statement that includes the following things. I'm listing out the IEP goals and/or objectives I'm referring to. There is a progress note, a summary of students' progress. This is where I use numbers. Then some type of statement whether the student is making progress or not making progress. And then I may add a closing statement, recommendations, or some type of insight to this progress statement. Maybe students are able to demonstrate 80% mastery with two prompts. So now we're going to be working on reducing it to one prompt or whatever makes sense. Progress reports are now feeling super simple and super quick. I think the most time-consuming part is the data collection, and I had several systems in place to combat that. I refer to them a lot in this podcast. I'll be sure to refer to the episodes in the show notes that you can go back and listen to. But in a nutshell, I was collecting work samples every week. I was grabbing quick data points, lots of performance tasks in our small groups, and I was doing this Monday through Thursday every single week. So by the time I sat down to do quarterly progress reports, I had more data than I needed, but at least I had enough that I could refer to or average out. I did keep Fridays open because Fridays were kind of a mess of a day. If we stayed in rotations when I had students in the resource room, then I could grab any data points that I specifically needed for progress reports. If data collection is feeling really heavy for you, I hear you. And I don't mean to brush it off in this episode, but the systems that I have described in previous blog posts and podcasts really worked. I always had the most recent data at my fingertips, and that huge time-consuming task was taken off my plate. So I do hear you. Definitely check those out. All right, so now we've described the bare minimums. It's time to take a look at the next steps. So in our Google Doc, we have some exemplars that we can refer to. This page of exemplars is included in the large Special Educators Resource Room bundle. Also in the bundle and in my TPT shop, I have a set of IEP report card statements. It's a bank of progress report statements. There's over 300 of them. And it expands the formula a little bit, and it's completely optional. Here's the expanded formula. We start off with that general statement about student progress. We follow that with data points that support the statement we've just wrote. That's so important. We don't want to have data in there just for the sake of data. It has to match the progress statement that we are making. Then we can expand this. You can add statements describing the student performance. This is optional. You can talk about the specific areas you're addressing with the goals and objectives. Then you could also include a statement about the student performance. And this is also optional. This is where you could describe student work habits, their participation, attendance. Then you will add a statement describing the next steps. You could add a suggestion for home. That's optional. And then some type of general closing statement. So I have a bank of statements for all of these different areas. And I want to give you a couple of examples. I'm going to share one for each area of the formula. I wish I could share more here, but we would be here forever. Let's start off with a statement that we can use for students who are making progress. This past quarter, blank, student's name, made the following progress on these goals and objectives. List them out. We will be continuing to focus on blank throughout the upcoming quarter to build upon blank's progress. Simple. Now let's have a statement for not making progress. I find these are the hardest to write, but we still have to write them. All right, how about this? Additional support and targeted strategies are needed to address blank's insufficient progress on this goal. And there are many more statements you can refer to in this bank. The next section is optional. You can include some descriptive statements on how students are doing, and you're referring to the data points that you have shared, those numbers. I have included many statements to describe basic math skills, reading skills, and writing skills. So for example, if students had goals and objectives with reading foundational, you might include a statement like, student's name consistently applies their knowledge of letter sound relationships to decode words accurately. So you're just expanding on the data point that you have already shared. I don't know if you're going to find that necessary or not. It might not apply. The next optional part of the formula, I love, and I really like to use these because it just seemed so appropriate for the students I was supporting. And that's where I'm making a statement describing the student performance. So this could be describing their increase in student independence, their self-regulation, positive efforts, their participation, or it could even address attendance, which was something that we struggled with. So let me read two statements for this one. The first one is for self-regulation. So I can say something like, student's name shows great self-regulation skills, consistently exhibiting self-control and making thoughtful choices. Or if I had one that was about attendance or tardiness, which often happened, I could say something like, student's inconsistent attendance and frequent tardiness has resulted in missed instruction and learning opportunities. So I have many different statements that could describe the student performance. It's optional to include, but it might be really impactful. The next statement is also optional, but I always added this, at least for the progress reports for quarters 1 through 3. It's the additional statement that describes the next steps. So for example, you could say, the upcoming quarter will see a continued focus on enter the content area or skill as we work to build upon students' names progress. So you may not want to use this for the fourth quarter, or you may want to adjust it before we break for summer. This next statement is also optional. I think this would be great to use for that fourth quarter instead of describing next steps. This is the area where you can put report card statements that include suggestions for home. So for example, you could say, student's name shows good time management skills, encourage setting goals and managing time effectively at home, or whatever statement. There's a variety of them included in this bank. The last section is adding an additional closing statement. Now, you may have used the statements that we just described where we have next steps and suggestions for home, and that can serve as the closing statement. But if you didn't add those, you may want to add another general statement. In the bank, I have examples for longer ones and some one-liners. So one of the longer ones could be something like, student's name consistently completes assignments to an acceptable standard and takes pride in their work. Or you can add a one-liner, and that's probably what I would do. It just feels like it would be more appropriate for families I supported. Something like, keep going, you're on the right path to success, or keep putting in the effort, you're doing wonderfully, something like that. Now you can see why I divided this into bare minimum versus expanded form. If you are just doing the bare minimum in your Google Doc, that is perfectly fine. I know many families will appreciate a concise progress statement. If your school is always doing more expanded formats, then this report card bank can really help you stay focused, but also speed up the process. Speaking of speeding up the process, I definitely recommend using that type of Google Doc or Word document and then copy and pasting into the system that your school or district uses. Our system was not very user-friendly, and every once in a while, it didn't like to save our work, even though we hit save. So that Google document can really save you time if anything goes sideways like that. There's one last piece of advice I'd like to add, and I promise I'm going to put all this information together in a blog post. I'll put the link in the show notes. This last suggestion is to create some type of cover sheet when you send home progress reports. As you can probably tell, I wasn't a huge fan of the system that our district used. It would spit out progress reports that you would need a magnifying glass to read. So I've included this cover sheet. There's an example in the exemplars I mentioned earlier and in the report card statements bank. So you can take a look at that. It uses font that is easy to read, and it gives a summary of the progress. So you have the IEP goal area, the progress percent, that's where the numbers go, and then the section for notes is where you'd cut and paste the statements we've just gone over. There's also a closing statement and a real easy to read if the child is or is not making sufficient progress on their goals and objectives. I know it's an extra step to send home this cover sheet, but I highly recommend it as a service to our families. We've made it to the end. This episode was packed full of information, but I took notes for you. It's all in the blog post. I'll put the link in the show notes. I know this is a huge task, but I promise these tips are designed to save you time. Maybe the first quarter, it's going to feel like a whole lot, but just wait till you open that document the next quarter. Think about how much time you're going to save. Please take the time to celebrate your students' progress and to celebrate you and all of the hard work you're doing each and every day with your students and your dedication to families. Thank you so much for all of your commitment, and I'll catch you next time in the Special Educators Resource Room. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'm dying to ask, what'd you think? Be sure to hit the follow or subscribe button so that you never miss an episode. You can find the show notes and links for everything mentioned in this episode at positivelylearningblog.com. See you next week for more special education solutions.